Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it. The IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not.
As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Matt Senna. Matt Senna is a wonderful, great singer, an actor. He's also a healer. He is very passionate about detoxing, Huron therapy, Shavambu, and also commonly known as urine therapy. Today, Matt Senna will be talking about his passion for healing, detoxing, and urine therapy. He can be found on SennaDistanceHealing.com. Also, his YouTube channel is Matt Senna. All of that will be in the description of the video. A great welcome to the show, Matt. I gotta tell you, it's great hearing you speak, and your passion is very captivating and inspiring. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tennessee. It's really good to be here. It's very, very sweet.
Awesome. So tell us a bit about who you are and what you do.
So I'm catering and scanning brain waves for work. I get auditions through my agent on occasion, and I have a huge obsession with detoxification. In fact, I think I can, you know, say with confidence that detoxification will be the new medical paradigm if we're ever to have a functional medical paradigm.
That's great news. So tell us more about the distance healing and your method. Because when I went to your website and I read a bit about that, tell us more about that, please.
Sure. So my website is a Reiki website, which also has a store of the products that I use and really want to share with people. And my distance healing method is based on the fact that, my opinion, that we are connected via a boundless field of consciousness. Also, that all healing is self-healing, but we can facilitate that process for other people. We can help people heal themselves, really. That's what's happening. And Reiki is a way to do this. It's a way to channel through me energy that can help you heal yourself. So I feel like all of these things work together that are on my website. And pardon, to just answer your question more directly, I offer distance healing Reiki sessions where we schedule a time and you meditate or sit comfortably, lie down comfortably while I send Reiki energy your way. And some ways I do that is either with a picture, if you'd like to send a picture, maybe some knowledge of something that you'd like to work on, that would help. And I incorporate mantra meditation, of course, the Reiki symbols, silence, which would be respect for the presence of awareness in my life. And the thing that ties all the different methods I use during a Reiki distance healing session together is very simple. And you'll notice this in many different healing modalities. We take a form that facilitates the formless. That's actually the statement. A form that facilitates the formless. So take a Reiki symbol. The one symbol I can trace with my hand goes like this, across, down, and then spiral. It's not the symbol that is really the thing here. It's the field that's generated or moved via the use of that symbol. Mantra is the same thing. It's a word that facilitates the more elusive or formless energy flow.
That is,
I swear you'll see this. Oh, yeah, yeah, thank you.
Well, especially the part, what inspires me is I am someone who likes to do things for myself. And the help of others is welcome and great to have as a community. And it gives that person a power to say, hey, you're able to heal yourself and I can assist you. So it brings a sense of community of, hey, you have the power, believe in yourself. And if you need me, I can be there for you. That's what I'm hearing. Is that what? Something like
yes.
That? Yes. Yeah, and I love
happened-
that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I just happen to think that's how it literally has to work. Because that's the power of our beliefs. Bottom line.
Right. Because I've noticed, well, probably not everyone, but we tend to, and even sometimes I think about it and I do my best to be independent. We tend to rely on, example, if we're getting overweight, we tend to rely on a pill to get us losing weight instead of doing the work of working out, or rely on some technology to write something for us. Especially, I'm a writer, and actually I've relied on the speech text part because then it's faster and easier. But then because of that, I forget how to spell things sometimes and forget how to form words. So what I've done is, depending on the time or if I have, if I'm relaxing, I will type it and I will disable the grammar part. And if it says, hey, it's incorrect, I use my brain to see how it can make it more correct. So I do like the part of Reiki where you're assisting someone healing and then they have the power to know, or even doing the meditation themselves and say, hey, I can do this. And my sena is assisting. And so it makes it more, so much better. And I love that. And of course, Western medical and other kind of processes do help as well. And as a whole, everything is great. But I like the part of, hey, you hold the power to your health instead of relying on someone else entirely.
Yes, there are so many ways you can apply this idea. Thank you for listing a couple, even on a very practical level. Like, we lose the skills when we rely on this or that technology. Absolutely. Yes.
Right. So, I know you are very passionate about curing therapy. Please tell us more about that. I love to hear you speak about it, and I would like the audience to know more as well.
Well, it's always fun to talk about. It's quite the topic. And the first things first, people think it's a waste product. Who told you that? Where did you hear that from? Are you sure?
Right.
Okay. And then after those questions, I would like to point out there are millions of people worldwide who drink their pee. There are countless testimonies in a handful of really amazing books. But if you look around, there's more and more testimonies, including mine, which I like to put it simply as, when I drink my pee, I feel amazing.
I'm going to start doing that. I drink a lot of water.
Yeah. Yeah. The power of living structured water will change your water game. Good sir.
So, yeah. So tell us your process of curing therapy.
Yeah. So I got into it probably by the grace of the YouTube algorithm, plus the mind-altering states that one can achieve on psychedelic medicine. The combination of those two equaled a curiosity for this this practice and an intuitive pull towards this practice, which gives me an opportunity to say, urine therapy is an intuitive medicine. It's great to ask other people how they go about it, what their experience is, but how one uses it should be guided by one's intuition. Everybody is at a different point in their detoxification journey. And detoxification symptoms are serious and uncomfortable. And that's probably the most important thing to talk about when I talk about my urine therapy journey, is what detoxification symptoms did I go through when I began it? And did I get over it? The answer is yes. I'm beyond a massive amount of detoxification symptoms and drinking my pee and feeling fantastic. But at first, when I was drinking my pee, I did not feel fantastic. I felt a lot of gunk in my system come up and out. And I've done enough of it to say it's better out than in. let me see if I can be a little more specific about detoxification symptoms with urine therapy. The problem with that is that people blame the urine for the detoxification symptoms. They think that they're being poisoned or being made sick by the urine, when really you've been sick all along, and this is just what that sick it looks like when it's leaving you. And there's many, many correlates to this in many different fields of medicine, because this is the bottom line of health is poisoning and detoxification in my paradigm. I chiefly got inspired to think of this as medically legitimate because the detoxification and poisoning paradigm, because of the work of Dr. Tom Cowan, who is being heavily censored nowadays.
I bet.
His beautifully simple paradigm is this, is that our cells are made of structured gel water. Here's two facts. If you take a micropipette and stab a cell with it, breaking the cell wall, one would think, since we're made of water so heavily, that the cell would leak water. It does not. You stab the cell wall and it doesn't leak. And we're made of these cells. So where's the water? It's in a structured gel state. When you cut yourself, you bleed blood. You don't bleed water, for instance. These simple facts are actually quite important. Now, poisons fundamentally destructure this gel water. It compromises the integrity of the gel water that we're made of. Oh, one other fact, because that was more of an opinion, what I just said. But another fact is, oh, it's so good, it's leaving my head. Pardon. Oh, yes, we are made of 70% water by weight. Most people have heard the statistic we're made of 70% water, and that's true, but it's by weight. Now, get this. Water as a molecule is incredibly light. It's made of oxygen and hydrogen, which are literally right up there on the periodic table at the very, very top, which means that they're molecularly of very, very little weight. We are actually 99 point something percent water by number of molecules in our body. Meaning what we're actually made out of is 99 plus percent water. So take that thought and then think about how that water is arranged in our body, being vital for the function of our organs and all of our tissues, is the integrity of the structured gel water. Poisons disrupt that gel water, all of them. That's the place where the poisons exert their bad influence on the body. So that is my entire medical paradigm. Let's say that we have emotional trauma or even breaking a bone trauma. Those are two things that might not immediately relate to the poisoning of our structured gel water. Let me relate them really quickly. I'll take the hardest one first. If we break a bone, we could say it's a poisoning of the geometric arrangement of our structured gel water as a body. Because the body is made of the structured gel water. If you remove a part of it, you've removed an essential part of it, where we are a whole body. And again, the body is made out of it. So let's say you break off a piece. Well, you've broken off a piece, and that means you've damaged the integrity of it. And again, what I mean by it is the body, which is made out of water. So I know that's a little abstract, but still. Now, emotional stuff. Well, I believe that water is an antenna to energy fields, which give life to the form of our body. And I believe water is the intermediary between spirit and matter. It is the only molecule that has the perfect geometry of incommensurability, which I'm not capable of explaining too much about this, but it is the secret of the Pythagorean school of thought, which certainly believed in the presence of consciousness and of higher fields. A key fact about the Pythagoreans is their respect for a field they called the ether. which is kind of like a fifth element of nature. You have earth, fire, water, air, whatever else, and then ether. This ether gives life and information to the matter, the form. Oh, what I wanted to do here was explain why sort of the broad potency of the detoxification and poisoning paradigm. And to complete that, I think I have to talk about contagion. Well, first of all, a medical paradigm that ignores chronic poisoning is willfully ignorant and shouldn't be trusted, because the severity of the environmental toxicology that is present in the world is massive, has huge implications for health, and is perfectly well studied in its importance. It's very obvious how poisonous mercury is, how poisonous glyphosate is, aluminum, cadmium, lead, arsenic, all the radioactive bullshit, the plastics, the fluoride, and, you know, it's just so ubiquitous in our diet, in our water, in our air, that it is suppressed information. And the medical establishment being heavily reliant on funding from up above is not capable of remaining a functioning business if they don't ignore the huge issue of environmental toxicology. But on top of that, it's also very difficult to remove poisons from the body. There are very few ways that really work, and many ways that cause such horrific detoxification reactions that it's an issue. It can be dangerous. What I like talking about are some of the most safe and effective ways to detoxify the body. And I think it relates to the fundamental core of health. So this, I know it sounds highfalutin to say that's why I like talking about this, is because it's everything. But that's why I like talking about this.
As you're saying, people are misinformed about urine. So let's say if someone have bad diet and they do a lot of toxic like drugs or what, like they're not taking care of their body. So would you recommend them drinking their own urine so they can detox? Because a misconception or the information out there is that we poo and we pee. So the toxic things that we take in through our mouths or through our breathing, et cetera, goes through our pee and poo. So would you say to those people who's not living a healthy lifestyle, it's okay to drink their pee?
Yes, I would. Let's address what parts of the body, according to my understanding, of course, it's just my opinions and I'm not a medical doctor, but the opinions I'm expressing here are the views of the urine therapy community, which is way more significant in number than people realize. So what are the detoxification organs? They are the lymph system, which is a full body sewer system. We have more lymph fluid than we have blood. It's that significant. And its primary mode of elimination is through the skin. This helps explain why saunas are so freaking good for you. It really does. It's the core reason why saunas and sweating is so good for you. It's because it drains the lymph system out through the skin. People usually think of the lymph and the lymph nodes as being part of an immune system. Well, I'd like to say, I think it's just part of a detoxification system and that's it. So we have the lymph, which exits through the skin primarily, but also the breath helps to eliminate toxins from whatever organ system catches it, probably the lymph. The breath really does. which makes you wonder about, you know, what putting a mask in front of your mouth does. It's not just CO2 that we're dealing with or whatever. The biggest elimination pathway is the colon, is pooping. We have the liver. I mean, you know how significant liver disease is and the issues that surround cirrhosis of the liver from alcohol. And maybe you're not aware, but non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is exponentially growing in prevalence. This is because the liver is a primary detoxification organ and our environment is so damn toxic. And this is why alcohol screws up your liver, is because it produces toxins that overburden the liver. This is also the issue with most pharmaceutical drugs, because any drug that is not native in the environment confuses the liver. It jams up the liver. Even ibuprofen and Tylenol been proven to cause liver issues. Let me get back on point. Can you, the colon. So the liver works with the pancreas, which has bile, to eliminate toxicity into the colon and then out through the butt. Most people's intestines are clogged. Most people have tons of, maybe you saw the ad on Facebook for some kind of colon thing, but it's getting around that, you know, the intestines are basically just a toxic waste dump that's backed up. I would say the thing that first gets backed up is actually the bile. That's the cork in the body's major detoxification pathway, is the bile. Because the liver puts things into the bile to be sequestered by fat. That is, the bile works with fat in the pancreas to sequester, meaning bind the toxins, and then as a package, give that to the colon to eliminate. The bile gets clogged mainly because of our high fatty diets with all kinds of fats that are not easily digestible by the body, especially the horrific vegetable oils, which are by no means natural. So we have all these detox pathways that, and I didn't have to mention the kidneys or the urine once to describe all those detox pathways. So it's the thinking of the urine therapy community that the kidneys are serve a vital function other than detoxification. This vital function is the balancing in the bloodstream moment by moment of good things, non-poisons in the bloodstream. Our body is constantly in dynamic homeostasis. That's a fact. It's always a balancing act, as is life. Go figure. And one of the things that needs to be balanced is not just the toxicity, but is the positive elements that maybe are in too high of an amount. And it's extremely toxic to have too much of a good thing in the bloodstream. Kidney issues are a very serious illness. One can die very quickly. And the importance of dialysis, of, you know, substituting kidneys medically is extremely useful in certain situations. But this is not because of a toxic overload that results from the kidney. Well, there's a subtlety here. It is toxic to have the kidneys malfunction because too much of a good thing is toxic. But that doesn't mean that those good things are pollution.
Right.
Okay. Just a little bit of a nuance there. So the kidneys are eliminating the too much of a good thing, plus other medicinal compounds that only seem to get like eliminated in the urine and don't necessarily have a ton of presence in the blood even. So the kidneys seem to like add some good good stuff like urea, which is actually quite for your heart. And people are given urea as a medical substance for the heart. There's also many skin creams that are made with different aspects of urine, or literally made with urine. Porta body companies sell their urine to, they separate out the, there's enzymes in the porta potties that preserve the urine, and they literally separate out the urine and sell that to pharmaceutical and skincare companies. There's so many skincare products that have urine in it, and soaking in urine is one of the most amazing things you can do for your skin. And I have no doubt that there are certain movie stars, and in fact, some have said as much, that use urine to stay young and vibrant and beautiful. Madonna, there is a video of Madonna drinking a glass of pee and saying, it's nothing like a cup of pee in the morning. You can look that up on YouTube.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, you know, it really is kind of like obvious, and there's information out there. It's just, there's such a stigma and such a deep programming in our psyche that even if you really vibe with this video today and you're watching, it's still going to be a big deal for you to, you know, even touch the urine, you know? So what's a good thing to do first, if you want to get into it, is first of all, just, you know, take it slow and no worries. Like, yes, it is a big, big mindset shift. You take your pinky finger, you stick it in, you just look at that for a second, you go like, okay, I just did that. And then the next step is to put it on your tongue. Ah!
It actually tastes good. I mean, I've tried it when I was younger, especially when it's clear urine. And I enjoyed drinking it. And as I got older, I stopped. But I always wonder, why did I do that? Maybe out of curiosity, or maybe my body using intuition just had me do it. And so unless, I guess I don't usually have darker or foul smelling urine, only mostly in the morning, because you're backing up for like 8 hours sleeping, especially. But throughout the day, I drink a lot of water, so it tends to be clear. So I think definitely I've enjoyed it then, but not in the first cup in the morning. I guess I could try that, but visually and nostrally, I don't think I could handle it mentally, but very interesting. So with that said, is there a difference in the urine when it's darker and lighter? When would you promote someone to drink that?
So all of it is good to drink. It's just when we've taken in a lot of stuff that's poisonous to our body, our body will produce urine that will help us compensate and heal from the poisons that we introduce. That just so happens to mean that the poison, or that the urine is ugly looking and smells foul. But that's not because the urine is an elimination pathway. It's for toxins. It's because it's generating what's needed to be drunk in order to compensate for the poisons that you just ingested, which just so happens to be an unpleasant thing, which causes detoxification reactions like diarrhea and sweating because you just ingested poison. So the thing with drinking urine and diet and lifestyle, that was a fly in the trap, is that you'll quickly adjust your eating habits when you start drinking your urine. It's like, I have no desire for whatever made my urine taste and smell that foul. But even better than the negative reinforcement of the urine that doesn't taste and smell good is the intuition for what you want, not just intuition, what you genuinely want to eat, what you genuinely want to drink, what energetic environments you want to genuinely be around. All those senses just sharpen really, really profoundly from the inside out without any effort on our part, just by drinking the urine.
So is there a prop? Can someone just start doing that, or is there a proper way to do it to make it effective?
Somebody can just start doing it. And props to those people who go full on in and really experience the detoxification symptoms profoundly. There's great benefit to doing that because one gets very in touch with the amount of toxicity that's in their system and the need and the desire their body has to clear it. Now, if one is deciding to go deeply and quickly into urine therapy, one will experience in a shorter amount of time, bigger detoxification symptoms, which primarily include, just so happens with urine therapy, a massive clearing of the intestines. That's what gets cleared out first and foremost, which means diarrhea. That's what it means. So just stay at home if you're going to drink a lot. But the other method is to just ease your way in, which of course is preferable to most people. You'll notice yourself, like I was mentioning just now, changing your lifestyle no matter what amount you drink. And that will facilitate the holistic healing detoxification of your whole life. That's the thing, is we're not just talking about physical toxicity here. We're talking about energetic thoughts, detoxification. Water is the antenna of life, like I really took a lot of time to try to explain earlier. This water is me, first and foremost. Second of all, water is the antenna of life. It facilitates a whole life rearrangement without any thought, without any worry, just natural, intuitive realignments. So the best time to go through that process is when one has made space for that process. That's all.
So what are the symptoms and how long do they last? Does it last as long you're drinking the urine, or does it stop at some point? And what are the symptoms? Are the symptoms sickness, or they just, as the word says, detoxing, like repelling things?
I think it's one of the easiest and least uncomfortable detoxification processes out there because it primarily encourages the toxicity to come out through the colon, which is the primary way we're meant to detoxify. It also facilitates the exiting of those toxins through the colon. It, for one reason or another, really encourages just massive bowel movements. I'm sorry to harp on that, but that's, I think, helps explain why there's such a profound detoxification with little, like no fever, no chills, no sweats. If you take it slow enough, it all just comes out through the colon with no hustle and bustle. And then the changing of the lifestyle really helps to gently transition one away from a toxic lifestyle. While you're drinking the urine to start, just ease off on the other toxic stuff that you know is toxic, and you know it'll go easier. You'll have an easier time with the detoxification. But really, the thing to worry about is diarrhea, and that's about it. Because it's so gentle. Really, it's just so gentle, yeah.
Is the diarrhea bad diarrhea, like when you get, let's say, a bacteria or a virus, or is it normal? Because sometimes I have loose stool, I could call diarrhea, but it's because I probably ate something that promotes my bowel to get loose.
Yeah.
But I'm not sick, cramping, and in pain, is it?
Yeah, it's not the cramping and in pain. It's a process that feels very relieving. In fact, it can kind of sneak up on you, to be honest.
Don't fart.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't trust the fart.
Trust a fart when you're doing urine therapy. Yes, sir.
So why is detoxing amazing, as you stated, and what are the benefits?
Yeah, well, I think I said most of that. I like to say it's just amazing. Detoxification, no matter how you do it, just is my way to feel amazing. That's what I love about it, is I just want to feel amazing. of course. So that's what I do to feel amazing. And then why? It's because it's the core of health, because we're made of structured gel water that needs to not have pollution within it in order to maintain its structured gel water qualities. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to replace the word should, but like a better word. Should someone drink someone else's urine?
Yeah, should, right. There's no need, especially because urine is personalized medicine. However, there are people who do drink other people's urine with no ill effects. And it can be, it is, whether you want to or not, an extreme bonding experience. So
I know, not personally, but I only one personal person, but I know some people who are into water sports or drinking urine. I've only drank my own when I was younger. And I met this guy like maybe 3 years ago and we were intimate and he loved drinking urine. And of course I would drink probably like 16 or 32 ounces before we made up. So it could be clearer and taste better, et cetera. But I never asked him why. He said he liked it. So we do it and that's fine. And a funny story that I was holding back, but in the spirit of being raw
and yes.
Unfiltered. Uncensored. Me and my brother that's before me, I don't know if you watched this or not, but no names, or if you even remember, we used to pee on each other. And I think most boys probably do that, maybe if you're friends or even siblings. So
yeah,
we used to like
I don't know.
We used to pee on each other and even on each other's faces. But unlike adults, it wasn't anything sexual. It was just like being boys and peeing on, let's say if he stands next to me, I would pee on his leg or his feet and he would be like, don't pee on me. And we would use the pee as water gun. And it just reminds me of how free and how children just do things. And we just
yes.
do things that are freeing and no doubt and no thinking. And as I explained earlier, drinking my own urine, I would put it in my hand and I would drink it like this. And it was okay. It was like whatever thing to do. But as an adult, I overthink and is it good and why this? And even if, let's say if I have a best friend, if I pee on his leg, he probably would be very offended. But as a kid, it was a thing we did and that was like a whatever thing.
If somebody really wants to investigate the origin of their own feeling of it being poisonous or just not a good thing, one really should ask themselves, where did they hear that? Who told them that?
Right.
Most of the time, they won't have an answer to that question. And then the investigation turns into, oh, that's just what everybody thinks.
Yeah.
That's just what everybody does. It's an idea in the collective mind, and nobody I trust told me that. And you know, there are many things that just are accepted by the world and the world culture that I don't agree with. And, you know, maybe it's just a mind virus.
And one more thing, I don't know if it's a medicine, that's known, and maybe you know it or not, but my sisters actually, when they get their cramps for their periods, remember her asking me to pee in a cup and then they warm it up under a candle and they would rub it in her belly or do something. It was like, and there was a not medicine lady, but someone who's well known who knew these things. And that was pretty interesting. So I
That's
wish I
awesome.
Knew all the process of that. Maybe it's probably online.
That's awesome.
Remember that. Yeah.
That's so cool. So here's the thing about warming it, is that it's just getting it back to body temperature, man. So our blood is at body temperature, which is 98.7 degrees Fahrenheit, which is almost 100 degrees, which is pretty darn hot. So the urine just is happiest at body temperature, it seems like. So it also absorbs faster into the skin if you heat it up a little bit. So I'm sure that's part of the logic there with rubbing it into the belly. Now, here's the thought about menstruation. It's that menstruation actually is a detoxification process, maybe not entirely, but it certainly functions as a detoxification process. And something that facilitates detoxification is clean structured water, because we need to pull the toxicity out of the cells and facilitate the movement of it through the detoxification pathways out the body. And what pulls the detox the poisons out of the cell is a water with the proper gradient. So you have the cell, right? And it's made of water. Now, outside of it, we introduce a highly negatively charged water that pulls the urine, which pulls the positively charged toxins out of the cell and into the urine and is able to flush it out of the system. So that's another big, I can't understate it, big point in this whole toxicity thing, is that most toxins are positively charged. Our gel water that our cells, all of them are made of, is negatively charged. It wouldn't be able to be the gel state that it is in the cell if it wasn't negatively charged. The negative charge in the gel is literally synonymous. So we are a negatively charged being. Makes you rethink about being negative. Most poisons are obviously negative or positively charged, and some of the worst poisons are extremely positively charged. Best example of this is mercury. That's also why they stick to the body so deeply, why they're so difficult to remove, is because they're so positively charged and our body is so negatively charged. It's a match made in hell and doesn't fucking move. So you introduce a very positively charged substance that facilitates the flow of the toxicity out of the system, urine, and you have a better period.
So the big, now let's talk about the big boogeyman.
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, so now the big thing is, okay, so when it comes to, okay, so I have not taken a COVID test where they test your antibodies. But I've taken COVID tests at least before work, like 24 hours prior or 2 weeks in advance, sometimes every week, depending on the job who's asking. And as of yesterday or today, I think, they're gonna require passports, et cetera. So I'm gonna try to apply for work that in offices, because I don't think office apply to make you take vaccine, because you can also test. They have two options, but when it comes to food, entertainment, it's just vaccination. So we kind of bring back to the Reiki stuff and how it's promote your self-healing. When COVID happened, I remember I got sick 4 times.
You did?
Around 2020.
Yeah.
But because I like to practice intuition and I like to practice mindfulness and awareness, I was thinking, how much of it was outside, what word could I use? Pathogens?
Pathogen or contagion.
Right. How much of it was outside contagion that made me sick? How much of it was here? And I had to, when that first time happens, of course, I was like, oh my God, COVID. But then it was whatever. And it happens again. And I was like, And then when it was kept happening, I was like, okay, so how much was it was in my head and how much was it real? But usually when I get a flu, if I get a flu, it would last 3 days top. When it's a cold, maybe 1 day or 2 days, because I do a lot of herbal medicines. Actually, I did a job and it threw away a lot of rosemary and thyme. And when I was working, I felt something tickling, not in my throat, but like in here. So what I've done is, so I was like, perfect. They have rosemary and thyme. I had hot water, put it in a cup, and I was drinking. And of course, everyone's like, ew, ew, that's gross. You don't drink that. You put it in food. And I know my intuition says, do it. And I did it. And immediately I felt a nice sensation and it went through my body and I was having all this stuff. And then that sensation I had on my chest was gone. So I've learned in the past, first of all, if my intuition tells me to do something, to do it. And second, if I feel like a body thing, either a scratchy throat or any discomfort that's not normal, if I'm home, I'll do my garlic with cayenne pepper and honey, of course. And if I'm outside, if I do catering, I see if there's either even white vinegar will do, but if they have apple cider vinegar around, or if they have any herbs, or even sage, et cetera. So I can, because those things are medicine and which relates to the urine. So now I know I could get a cup and drink that. Because sometimes if I'm not at home, I don't have my herbal stuff. What do I do? I remember I went camping and I didn't know what else to use. And yeah. I felt I was gonna get sick and I wasn't home. One of my, I guess my fear, I don't wanna call it fear exactly, but like a better word, one of my fear is, I love home so much because there's so much comfort and so much things that I can use. But I went camping one time and I was having throat problems. And I'm glad I told someone about it. She got clove.
Oh. And
I didn't think about clove.
Yeah.
Putting hot water, dude, it was gone.
Really?
My friend who was with me says, let's get you to the emergency room. Let's do a doctor checkup. And I think we need to go back to herbal medicine. We need to go back to grandmother medicine and earth medicine and listen to our intuition. And the word when it says food is medicine, food is real medicine. And when it comes also to Reiki, we need to know that meditation, we can heal ourselves. For example, when I was saying how much was COVID, I don't think it was COVID. I don't think I was even sick even. I was sick. I was making my thoughts sick.
Oh, yeah. Because I was going to ask you, like, you know, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
And since then, I've been watching a lot of Sadhguru videos, and he says something that's very taboo to the Western medicine and a lot of Western people. He says, I don't remember exactly the number he said, but something like 70 or 80% of our sickness is mental. And I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
says, all of that, you can use meditation and herbal or anything else. But, and it says, when it comes to outside pathogen, yeah, of course, go to the doctor. You need that. But a lot of our sickness, and he says something, and I believe of it 100%, and I apply in my own life that stress and depression and a lot of stuff is just mental. And it's us, like example, stress is living in the future and not living in the present, period.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe, absolutely. And I'm not versed on it 100%, but just my personal experience. My personal experience is an opinion about depression for me is, I think it's purely mental and meditation and living in the present and not the past, because I feel like depression is living in the past mostly than the future.
I love that. Depression is living in the past and stress is living in the future.
Right, right. And I've experienced that just because when I've been stressed at work, because I'm stressing about someone else is being stressed about what could happen wrong.
Yep.
And when I've been depressed, it was about the past. And so, and funny thing, and not funny, but I've got depressed only one time in my life, sometimes last year, which helped me see a lot of things in my life. And funny thing, the being depressed wasn't about being 2020. I think maybe I told you that, maybe not. Part of my channel will be talking about that, how I fell in love and all this stuff. So it was like love depression.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. And that was my first time falling in love for real and my first time being depressed post rejection. So yeah. That was really interesting. And
oh, you're approaching it like a scientist.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it. I think that's brilliant.
And with the depression, I could have healed myself, but there is a toxic, there's something feeling good about toxicity. Of like, I'm in love and it's toxic. I'm rejected and it's toxic. And we're still interacting with each other, being toxic, and it feels good, but it's bad.
That's deep.
Yeah. And it went a whole year.
I please get into the details on that. I guess I have thoughts, but they're not fully formed. Why are emotionally toxic situations fun? Why do they feel good?
I think it's dopamine. It's part of a drug.
Okay. Yeah, there's that. That it satisfies the dopamine triggers.
Yeah. And that's purely opinions. Maybe a scientist can weigh in on that in the comments or whatever.
I just think, you know, it probably goes deeper in terms of, yeah, you know, the nature of attachment. Well, yeah, no, it gets pretty esoteric right off the bat there. Anyway, keep going. I love this topic.
Yeah, it's pretty deep, but I don't want to get too much deep into it. Maybe another video.
No, yeah, I thought it would be easier. My bad.
But basically, I was saying how we can use things that are around us, and what are the greatest way to detoxifying yourself and use medicine is something that's you.
Yeah.
Your urine. So basically, yeah. My point was, we have our environment and that can help us heal. Even going to the forest, meditating, yes. Or look at the sunset, or taking herbs or whatever. And we have our own body, as you mentioned, the urine. And we have our minds with the Reiki, like someone else's mind or our mind and energy.
Yeah.
And we have all these resources that can help us heal or stay healthy. And I think we need to go back on that, like a quote from Online Up meme that says, I don't remember the meme, but something like make it normal again, kind of a meme for us to use our own bodies, our own minds. And I promote a lot about intuition, and I've sing about that, and we're forgetting these things. We're relying so much on chemicals or things that are outside of our bodies, and we just laying down and be like, oh, take care of us while we can do all of that. So I love, and it's, I will do my urine therapy, and I will keep you posted about that. Definitely, you have inspired me.
Oh yes. Well, then it's worth it. It's totally worth it. And that's fantastic. And you're going to help a lot of people just by this video or by, and when you tell people about it yourself, you become a radiant, you know, beacon of this fact that this is an amazing practice naturally when you do it. And it does relate to the deep belief systems and healing those as well. And I would say that if we have to do a materialist reduction as to why the urine therapy helps with the belief systems and the fear and everything you're talking about, is that water is the place where spirit and matter connect.
Yeah. Water is life.